This is Write Your Own Story, Three Keys to Rise and Thrive in Life and Business. I'm your host, Rebecca Fleetwood Hessian. Hi, I'm Rebecca Fleetwood Hessian. I am the CEO of a company called WeThrive.live, my keynote speaker and an executive coach. And you are tuning in to our Future of Work series here on the podcast. I am passionate about the shift that we are in as a society. And I believe it's the greatest shift that we've been in since the shift from the agricultural age to the industrial age model of work, where the work construct has such a significant impact on society. And in 2020, we experienced a global shutdown, global trauma, which led us into years worth of reflection on what success really is and what we want our lives to be. And I believe that we're still in this bit of chaotic shift, trying to decide what the right answer is. And what I'm seeing is a much needed and necessary shift to where our sense of worth and our sense of value doesn't come from our achievements and our work title, but comes from us knowing us. And I believe that is the shift that we have needed for some time, because the way that we were working was leading us straight to an epidemic of burnout. And while this time of chaotic shift is full of uncertainty and many leaders trying to figure out what is the answer, I wholeheartedly believe that the future belongs to those leaders who are willing to be creatives, who are willing to create the future of work. And I want to be a part of that effort. And so this series is dedicated to interviewing people and asking them, what do you think the future of work could and should be? What problems should we solve? What ideas should we consider? And by doing this series, it will lead us into our own sense of reflection as leaders and as employees. And what do we want? How do we want work to feel? And as we make this shift, I believe as we change the work, we can change the world into a society that honors each of our uniqueness and honors the value that we bring into an organization. So if we can change the work, we can change the world. Because, you know, making money just ought to feel better. So I'm glad you're here. Welcome back to our Future of Work series, where we're talking about what I call the age of humanity and what it will take to lead and grow our business differently. And there's nobody better to talk about that than Anna Kay, because I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name. Anna, say it for our listeners. Your last name is?
Cansavellos.
Thank you for that.
There you go.
And I met you, Anna, gosh, years ago when years a group ago. Of women were getting together and inspiring one another and being each other's hype girls, which is one of the things that I love about women today in business. And when I launched this series, I was just going through my list of LinkedIn connections and I got to you and I was like, Anna is the perfect person to talk about this, because not only are you a small business strategist and you care a lot about business strategy and the success of small business, but you have started a business that competes with big box retail. And so as the owner of a small pharmacy, Nora Apothecary, you are going against the grain of what people have thought to be necessary in the world of pharmacy. And I cannot wait to dig into that, because it really lines up with my dream and my hope is that we'll go back to that feeling of the town square small business idea where I know my pharmacist personally. I know the person who sells me whatever in my life, and that it's a human to human exchange.
Yes.
So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Hi. So excited.
So tell us about your business. Just set some context around, what is your business model? Who are you as a business?
So it's funny, because when we purchased the pharmacy, I've grown up in Indianapolis. And so Nora Apothecary is now on one of the busiest streets in Indianapolis. And I knew they did pharmaceutical medical things, but it was just this little house and I didn't really know what they did. until we were looking to purchasing it. Actually, the previous owner asked us to purchase it after he had known us for a couple of years. So it's going back to what healthcare should be all about. It's personalized medicine, personalized care. We treat every individual as a human being. And so we are not like the big box chains that you see. We don't have just a formulary of different medications that we just dispense. It is every prescription is made for every individual. So you bring a prescription to us, we hand make it for you. The best way to describe that is like bioidentical hormones. Everyone's hormones level are very specific levels. We make them very specific to your needs and to your labs versus like, hey, you kind of fit between like 10 and 20 milligrams. We'll see which one works. It's very specific to you. We do a lot of ophthalmics. We do dermatologic, pediatric, veterinary. We do a lot of pets. So very specific medications. And we do a lot of integrative medicine. So we like to say we meet at the intersection of conventional and integrative medicine. So we work a lot with functional medicine doctors, highest quality supplements and vitamins, and really looking at the whole person. Whole person healthcare is what we're all about.
Oh my gosh, it couldn't be a better fit for my vision of work in the future, not only from a service and a product that you provide, but also from the way that you're running your business. Mm-hmm. I know that you are doing things differently than a big box retail, which is why you are creating the kind of environment where people feel safe that you're caring for them. Tell us a little bit about how you're doing things differently.
It really is, I love what you say, human to human. And that's exactly what I say about business is that in the business world, we tend to talk in B2B, B2C, business to business, business to consumer, but where it's all H to H, you kick that perfectly off. That's what I say all the time. It's human to human. So we treat every human being as a human being, not a transaction. We know everyone's names. We know their families, where they went for vacation, their kid just graduated or got married. If they've had a loss in the family, you know, we always engage with them and we just know them as people. And it's so important. And that's really very organically how we've grown our business because people seek that. They want that as they well should. And then they tell their neighbor, their mom, their sister, their friends, like, hey, you need to go there. They'll take care of you as a whole human being. To no fault of the big retail chains, you know, they have their place, but we're very, very thankful that we're able to create the culture that we want in our own pharmacy. And that's one of the biggest benefits of owning your own business.
As we sit here and I'm listening to you as a business consultant for the last, I don't know, 30 years or something crazy, it's so simple.
It is.
It's so simple.
It is.
The entire strategy is I'm going to treat Joe who applies to work at my pharmacy like a human being. I'm going to get to know him. I'm going to respect him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to know that he has a life outside of work and sometimes yes. he's going to come in and have problems. It's that simple. And yet, it's not pervasive. It's not everywhere. But it is what is attracting people to want to work mm-hmm. for you. And when I tell people that run bigger businesses that this is the strategy, sometimes they just look at me like, I'm very Pollyanna. But it works. You're an 1,000%. Example of it works. Other clients that I have, it works.
1,000%. I mean, there's no reason why, you know, taking it from a small model to a medium model to a larger model will work because we're all human beings. And like you mentioned, we all have lives outside of work. And it really is sometimes the opposite of what you think. They think that maybe having people clock in and checking their mouse and making sure that they're on the computer when they're supposed to be or whatever the case might be is going to increase productivity and decrease turnover. And that's the opposite. It's treat them as a whole human being and they will be forever grateful and stay with you. And so that's what we do with our employees. You know, we've learned a lot coming from the medical world. I'm a physician assistant. My husband's a pharmacist. God works in mysterious ways, invented a product. And from that product got to meet the owner of the pharmacy that we purchased. He asked us to purchase it a couple of years later. But what that company that we first started, what that did for us was teach us to work together in business. So we've been together now, it's embarrassing to say, over 25 years, you know, had three kids, gone through the stresses of life. And it took starting and inventing a product and starting a company to realize how different we are in business. So I'm more of the big picture visionary, strategic thinker. How can we improve like customer experience? How can we improve the life of our employees? You know, all those sorts of things. And he loves working in the business. He loves the day-to-day, like serving our customers. So we've learned a lot going from owning that company to then having employees, because when we invented that product, it was just me and him. Like, that was it. We were A to Z. To having employees, and, you know, we started growing and needed to hire. And initially, we made the mistake that probably most people do of just, let's look at the resume. Like, oh my gosh, it's like beaming from all corners of the page. This is like the perfect employee to have, only to bring them on. And they're toxic. They don't have good attitude. They're not a team player. They want to blame other people. It just didn't fit into our culture. So we quickly learned to hire based on character and making sure that they fit in with our culture. And if someone has an interest in the position, and we can teach the skill set, especially with the technicians. Now, with the pharmacists, obviously you need to have some background, but even there, it's they need to have the love of really helping another human being on a human level and being a team player. So we've learned a lot. So really, when we hire, we don't go in asking, this is what we need, can you fill it? It's, what are you looking for? Like, what is going to fit into your life? You know, what are the hours you're looking for? We have a pharmacist, he loves to golf. All right, we know that come spring, like every Wednesday, he's taking off early to go golf. We know that. One of our staff members, her mom is elderly and sick, and sometimes she just needs to take off early. Okay, like, we'll figure it out. So one of our biggest benefits is that we're very, very flexible. And we just want to know, like, how can we make this a whole life experience for you versus, you know, you start at 9 and you leave at 5 or 6 and good luck outside of these walls. Mm-hmm. And we just try and check in with them. How's life going? Anything we can do for you? And just sit down and have a conversation with them. But really, it's about how can we make this fit for you?
So many things you said right there that I just want to highlight. Yeah. One of them is you talk about you're very aware of the love of helping another human. Mm-hmm. Listen, we are hardwired for that. And if you can tap into that as an energy source and a motivator and an inspiration, mm-hmm. people will show up to do that every single day. And of course, in your situation, how beautiful, you know, somebody comes to you either not well, not feeling well, not mm-hmm. their best, and to love somebody and help them at that time certainly is rewarding. But even somebody that's coming in for wellness and some of the things yep. that you're doing in that regard, to know that you are serving another human in that way is mm-hmm. really what we want our jobs to be about. It can be that if you are preparing Excel spreadsheets for the management team for a meeting.
100%.
If you can make the connection to how mm-hmm. it's serving the other human with love and good intention, and it doesn't have to be devoid of emotion. Work does not have to be devoid of emotion. It should be full of emotion.
People hopefully go into healthcare because they want to help other people feel their best and be their best and live their fullest life. But to your point, even in a bigger company that's not maybe healthcare related or real estate, that can be kind of an emotional experience and very human experience and financial services. But even bigger corporations, at the end of the day, the end product is going to serve a human being, whatever it is. So to your point, you know, you could be doing Excel spreadsheet. You could be the person picking up the phone, first person they have interaction with at the company, whatever the case might be, the end product is going to serve a human being. So it doesn't matter what industry it's in.
That's the first thing I always ask is, who is this for? When I'm in coaching or consulting and we're looking at the work, who is this for? And sometimes they'll look at me like they want to talk about the metrics and they want to talk about, you know, the business wants to control, measure, optimize, but we are personal, emotional, and social. So I'm like, okay, well, who are we talking about? Because we should only build systems and processes that serve who and how we want them to work and how we want them to feel. And it sounds like you're doing a beautiful job with that because of the flexibility. Because the other thing I don't get, other than it's the past and it's the way that people's patterns, same equals safe, right? In our brains. And so we'll just keep it the same, is controlling everything.
Yes.
Creates the need or the feeling of resisting mm-hmm. being controlled. Sure. And so the more companies are doubling down on get back to work, control, 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 the more people are resisting that and saying, no, and stop checking to see if I'm online. Why don't you trust me to do the work? And it sounds like you are doing a beautiful job of honoring that. With humanity.
Thank you. Yeah.
You love business strategy as much as I do. So what else would you share with our listeners that you think is really helping drive growth of your business? Because it mm-hmm. is about, you're about growth.
It's still a business, right? Yeah. We still have to make money. Right? It's not just all kumbaya. We're all going to feel good. Yeah. Right. At the end of the day, it's a business. Yeah.
What else would you share that is helping use humanity to fuel your growth?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, it's funny. We just sat down. So we've owned it almost 9 years and we've looked back to see how much we've grown it, and it's grown. And it was surprising, pleasantly surprising. You know, when you just kind of go through the motions, but you're like, wow, like we've really grown this business by serving one person at a time. I would have to say it starts with the employees. I think when you treat your employees well and you have a good culture, that's going to just overflow onto the customers. And then they're going to let other people know. We've tried the whole hiring a marketing company and social media and things like that. And really what's grown it is just word of mouth. It is literally just word of mouth. People are happy. They tell their friends, they tell everyone else, but it really starts with the employees. And again, we just try and treat them how we would want to be treated and how they want to be treated. I share the story of we had two employees who had like milestone birthdays. One was turning 50, one was turning 60. And they were just a few weeks apart. And so for our the lady who was turning 50, we went in the night before, we got balloons and streamers and a sash and a crown for her. And like, she loved it. She like ate it up. She was so excited. And then a few weeks later for one of our pharmacists, same thing. And he didn't love it. He didn't love that recognition outwardly, right? And then it's like, oh, it made us think back to like, if you've read the five love languages, is like, what's his love language? And that just wasn't his love language. He didn't want that outward expression to everybody of like, oh my gosh, I'm having this big milestone birthday. So it's really understanding like, what is our love language? You know, some people are motivated by outward recognition. Some people just want an extra day off. Some people are motivated by money in companies and promotions. Some people just want to have a Wednesday off afternoon to go play golf. So what is our love language? What is it that speaks to them? And we try and learn that. Like when we hire people, we have this really cheesy, I made it on Canva, but it's just a form that says, hey, like, what's your favorite flavor cake? What's your favorite restaurant? What's your favorite music? What are your favorite colors? All these questions. So like when they have birthdays or they have, you know, milestone things that happen in their lives, we can celebrate them the way they want, right? Like, what's your favorite place to eat? We'll get in lunch from that place. What's your favorite cake? What's your favorite whatever? And we'll do it the way that they would want, not just how we think they would want.
It's but simple, really, but it's profound.
Well, it is so simple. It's like, keep that simple, stupid. And I'm trying to remind myself that so much in so many areas of life, but it really is. It's get to the basics and it'll just grow organically. I think sometimes when you force something, it's not going to turn out, right? You got
to
just...
Or try to treat everybody the same, like you said.
Trying to treat everyone the same.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're saying to people by asking them those questions is, I want to know you.
Yeah.
I see you. And I acknowledge that you're different than other people. Mm-hmm. And that's really the way we're wired is to, do you see me? Because if you see me, I'm going to be able to connect with you and trust you and know that we're in this together. And that is a great way to do that. I used to lead a million years ago, a staffing company and several offices. And that's the way I led. I knew my team. Mm-hmm. One of them loved concerts. And I would look at the concert schedule and she got off early to go pregame her show and she could show up a little bit late the next day after
we go.
Really enjoyed the show. Another one, her husband was a police officer and they had a little boy who was like 3. And so time off was always really hard for them with his schedule. Mm-hmm. And so he would share his schedule with me and I'd be like, oh, if you take off this afternoon, you'll get this much time together as a family. Wow. Another one, she just wanted every book, every chance to learn. So I would get her subscriptions to like books on tape back in the day. How long ago this was. But when I shared that story for years in my leadership classes, it's so funny that that's like a new idea because we have been trained now that here's the way the company does it.
Yes.
And you as an employee need to come and decide whether you like what we do. Mm-hmm. And what you and I are saying is, backwards. That's not the way it works. We are in this as a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so we need to honor and know each individual.
Amen. And Gary Vaynerchuk had said that perfectly. He said, you know, we work for them. They don't work for us. We're here to guide and lead the vision of the business. But it really is. Employees are the heartbeat of it and they make everything happen. So the more that we can lean into them individually, as you mentioned, I love what you did with your so many years ago, right? And it's like that was 30 years ago and we're still not there yet? Like, really, we're not treating every person of like, hey, what motivates you? You know, and how can I feed into that? How can I fuel that? Love that.
I think about my son who works for a big box retail in Nashville. And when he moved, he transferred from an Indianapolis store to the Nashville store. He called me and he was so excited to make the move because this is part of his life stream as a songwriter and a musician. But one of the first things he said when he called me and he was getting settled into his new job, and he said, I hate that I'm an employee number. He goes, the whole process of getting me set up and changed over in the system was all around this conversation about my employee number. And he said, I understand that that makes it easier for them to pay me. And he goes, but when we just talk about it like that, he goes, it makes me feel gross. Mm-hmm. That's happening all the time. And yeah. we think it's efficient, but it's actually impacting the way that people feel and the yeah. way they show up. And we don't have to do that.
And can you imagine that that's your first taste mm-hmm. of your place in the company is like, oh, you're a number with us. That's just what a way to be welcomed into a company. Yeah. It's like, hey, you're a number.
Not going to inspire growth no. and our feeling of, I can't wait to get to work tomorrow to...
Or I don't want to stay, you know, like turnover yeah. and retention are a big thing. And it's like people don't stay more than 18 months anymore in companies. If things are happening like that, then you can kind of see why. It's like, all right, well, I guess I'll just stay here and serve my role as my number, you know, as long as I can. And I'm out of here till the next better thing comes up.
I was working with a client this week and she works for a large home healthcare business and she's making some really significant changes like we're talking about for this business. And do you know that they're seeing huge uptick in their patient satisfaction scores, awesome. Which are measured by NPS and Prescani and all these mm-hmm. big companies that are sent to help you measure your success, which is okay as long as you are defining success by the, are you loving helping another human? Mm-hmm. And then let's see how it shows up on the scores. And that's really what she's doing to the point that, you know, she had a group of people responsible for this particular patient who's at home needing care. And the group came together, like the social worker and the nurse practitioner, like all the people were in his house to talk to make sure that he was getting what he needed for his care.
Oh, I love it.
Well, of course, the NPS scores are going up, which is net promoter score. Like, would you recommend our business mm-hmm. to someone else? And of course they are, because these humans that work for this business love this man. And they want to make sure that he's taken care of. So they're working together to do that. And so I said to my client this week, hey, have you looked at the correlation of employee turnover in these groups mm-hmm. that are having high NPS scores yet? And she was like, I know it to be true. She goes, but I haven't actually looked at it. I said, okay, so in your next meeting, I want you not only to highlight patient sat has gone up. I want you to also show that at the same rate that teaching people to love one another in the way they serve is impacting turnover in this part of the organization.
Love it.
That's the facts, man. That's the way
I love it. Well, and the truth is that that patient is going to have a better outcome because you're going to catch things that you may not have otherwise because practitioners are busy. They don't always communicate with one another. And that reminds me of during COVID, we started doing individual consults with patients, like health consults. Like we do lab work on them. We sit down with them and we look at this prescriber is prescribing this. This is a diagnosis here, and that prescriber is doing that because people only have 15 minutes with their doctors. Their questions aren't getting answered. Things are falling through the cracks. They're overprescribed sometimes. And that came through, that idea really came through a demand because people couldn't see their doctors and practitioners, or they were terrified of their health and like, hey, I know now I need to really pay attention. But my dad had cancer years ago and he was seeing different practitioners, you know, ENT and a pulmonologist and an oncologist. But he wasn't feeling any better, right? And things were just not being communicated. So I just picked him up and I said, okay, we're going to Cleveland Clinic. And it was incredible how you're there one day, you see your different practitioners, and then they all come together. And that reminds me exactly of that story that you shared. They all come together and they get goosebumps, the respective fields, and say, all right, this is what we're doing. Does that sound good? Yep, that's going to work. And then the patient gets better. So you're going to have better patient outcomes. You're going to have better employee retention. You're going to have better satisfaction scores all the way around. And we've seen that in our practice. I mean, patients are getting healthier and healthier because we're able to sit down with them and say, great, you're seeing all these practitioners. What's missing? Or what's mm-hmm. there too much of, right? It's sometimes just like little tweaks that make the biggest difference.
Oh my gosh. I'm familiar with Cleveland Clinic through some personal experiences. Okay. And that's what we've always said too, is if every healthcare scenario worked with this holistic viewpoint.
Yes. Yes.
And you can apply that same thought to other businesses. I have a session I'm doing tomorrow with one of my clients and her leadership team, and we're bringing all of the leaders together of the various departments. And what I do is I facilitate this exercise where I say, we're not an org chart. We are more like a relay track team. So how is the work getting handed off from person mm-hmm. to person? Because the most important part of a relay race isn't how fast the runners are. it's how efficient and effective the handoff is. Because if the handoff doesn't go well, you're probably not going to win the race and you're not going to trust that other runner as much in your next race. And so we look at the integration of how the work flows, how the money flows, how the communication flows, which is the same kind of deal you're talking about with the Cleveland Clinic. Like, how are we all working together?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're probably making work harder for one another and we don't even know it, but just haven't got together.
We're all in our little silos, you know, working on our things, but we're not coming together to communicate. And like you said, much easier to do it that way than the other way.
Human to human is the name of the game.
It is.
The other personal story that I have that correlates with what you're talking about, what you're doing, Anna, is a friend of mine who worked as a pharmacist for one of the big retail chains. She was based out of Oregon. And she was near suicidal because of the culture and because during quarantine and COVID and the pressure and the way they were treated in that building was so toxic and so terrible at a time we were all under traumatic nervous system dysregulation. Yes. And her work was so terrible that she finally had to quit literally to save her own life because she knew couldn't survive working there. And so I hear you tell these stories and I just keep having her in the back of my mind. And now she's moved to Cincinnati. She's married. She's got little kids and she's happy. And I love seeing her thriving. But where you work and how you work has impact on every other aspect of our lives. Oh, I'm going to get emotional thinking about it. And every other aspect of our lives. And I think about your employees go home healthy and happy and knowing how they've served another human, doing the same kind of work that she was doing, but you doing it very differently has a ripple effect of impact into their families. And that's why your word of mouth strategy works, because they can't wait to tell people about what you're doing.
Thank you for that. And I have to say, for that pharmacist, your friend, God bless her for getting out of it and not trying to push through. You know, I think so many times we really try to push through those things, like, all right, well, if I just work a little bit harder, okay, it'll get back better next week. And then it just builds and builds and builds. And before you know it, you're just in this dark hole and you're like, okay, how did I get here and how do I get out? So God bless her for getting out of it. And those were very, very difficult years for everyone in healthcare. I mean, you know, we've used this word too much, but it was very unprecedented. And it also united, speaking of humanity, it united humanity in a way that no other event in history has done. I mean, it impacted everyone. So no matter what language you spoke, no matter what religion you were, no matter what family you grew up in, you knew what this meant and what it could do and how it impacted families and life and work. From your previous podcast, I've loved how you said too that it shifted our perspective on life, on what's important in life. It goes back to, what does success look like for everyone? You know, it's not always the financial gain, like, hey, let me get to multiple six figures and all that. And let me have a house and a boat. I've heard this phrase, profit motive. There are different ways of having profit in your life. And so let me make sure every category is filled and not just have a title and I have a label or I have some letters behind my name or I got a promotion here. It's, are you whole and full as a human being? So I've loved how you've mentioned a few times that COVID has kind of just reframed what's important. And we all kind of get us back to that.
Absolutely. And for people like my friend that had gone to pharmacy school and spent all that time and money and investment. Mm-hmm. I think what keeps people trapped in these kinds of high dollar professions is not only the fear of what will I do if I can't make this much money, but look how much time and money I've invested, all of that a waste. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hear from people when I'm coaching oftentimes. And I quickly remind them that all of that experience is going to be used in other ways. You didn't waste it. He'll use it all together for our good.
Yes.
Whatever you want there will be applied somewhere in the future. It was not a waste of time.
That's so true. And that's true really in any profession. I mean, if you've done anything for long enough, you're like, oh my gosh, I've been doing this forever and I've invested all this time, or, you know, I put so much money into something, I got to keep doing it. And it's like, well, if it's not there, you just got to let it go. Or you've been with a company so long, but it's just not fueling you. All right, let it go. We hold on too tightly sometimes, I think, to things, right? And so, and like you said, you know, that safety feeling, like, oh, at least I know what it is, and so I feel safe, even if I don't love it.
Yeah. That's a pattern and a trap, right? And I'm thinking of other, I have so many friends, like, and you're weirdly
my world.
So another one was a pharmaceutical rep for a fairly large company. Actually, she was moving from Florida to Tennessee, and the company wouldn't accommodate her. Even though they had reps everywhere, like they just didn't accommodate her. And she decided to quit, and they're homesteading and raising three little boys under the age of seven, and they got chickens and they got
lambs. I love it.
And I am loving watching her own that story. To your earlier point, like profit what? Like it's not just about dollars and cents. It's the quality of life that you want to live. I go look for her stories because it's so inspiring to me that she just made the jump and said, and she was a high heel wearing, always had her hair, makeup, champagne drinking, like girly. And she still drinks her some champagne, but she's sitting on the porch of her house out in Tennessee now. And I just say that because anything is possible. You get to decide what you want your life to be. And that's what I want the future of work to be. Like you decide what you want your life to be.
Amen. Amen. And there's always more. We've been there. When we were inventing that product and we had three kids, ages three and younger. I mean, they were crazy years and we were dead broke. Like we were dead broke. It's easy to say now, like, okay, you know, we have a little breathing room and oh, now we can build our business. No. We were inventing a product that hadn't been invented before. We had three young kids. We didn't really have family around. There were tough years and we were, you know, couponing and what's on sale. Okay, what for dinner this week? Like what's on sale at the grocery store? Like, so there's a time for those things, but then it gets to the point, and I think what we're talking about is like, when you have the choice of when is more not going to cut it. Do I really need to make X amount of dollars and, you know, work 80 hours a week? Is that my vision of success? Or would I rather make a little bit less and be able to take vacations with my family or work on a side gig that I want to work on or whatever the case might be? It's redefining what success means for everyone. And I think those years during COVID really kind of reframed that. And so I love that story of your friend, because Tony would laugh, my husband, because that's kind of a mini dream of mine, is like, I just kind of want to have a piece of property somewhere and like raise my own chickens and have like my own vegetables and, you know, homeschool my kids. That's life. That's a full life. But it may not be for someone else. And I think that's the point. Absolutely. It's like, what is success to each individual person?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you get inspired and actually want to take a jump, I'll introduce you and she can tell.
I love it. I don't know if my husband would love that, but I would.
Oh my gosh. You are a trailblazer. You mentioned this product, and I don't want our listeners to think that we're hiding anything from them. Is it something that you can talk about or that
So we invented it was an eyelid cleansing wipe, and it was for after people have eye surgeries, eye infections, pink eye, blepharitis, dry eye, different eye conditions. There was at the time, there was only one on the market. Now there's dozens. So we were competing against this other product that was just, it wasn't great. And so, yeah, made it in the US, rinse free, tear, go, natural ingredients. And did really well with it. We sold it online and sold it in physician offices. But yeah, it was from that product that we came to meet the owner of the pharmacy because he did sterile ophthalmic drops. And he was like, yeah, this would be a great add-on to just like, give my patients. They'd had eye surgery. They're told to cleanse their eye multiple times a day. But at the time, it was kind of just like, take some baby shampoo and clean your eye. And people are like, I'm at work. I'm at the gym. I'm in my car. Like, I need to, you know.
Wow.
So God works in mysterious ways. We could have never imagined at the time that would have led us to the pharmacy and what we do now. Well,
that's the other point when I say trailblazer, just to wrap up what I see in you that I hope is inspiring for others to take hold of and consider for their lives is you're rarely taking the path already traveled, right? Yeah. And so I teach this to my clients. It's like you get to the edge of the woods and you see this path. Most likely you're just going to always take the same path until the path no longer takes you where you want to be. And then you have to get to the edge of the woods and you have to say, I'm going to create a new path. Yeah. And you're going to have to stomp down some poison ivy and cut down some trees. Yes. And there's going to be times in that journey that you're going to question it. It's going to be too hard and you're going to want to quit. But you have to remind yourself that I'm taking myself somewhere different because that no longer served me. Yes. And you are an example of that in all parts of your life that you took the path less traveled and it was harder at times, but you knew it was going to take you to the kind of life that you want to live.
Thank you. And I have to say the same for you because knowing your story, you know, you are living your definition of success right now, right? And when you do that, then you can help and serve another person, right? Like when we're living into our fullest authentic self and using our gifts as God intended, then you're doing what we're meant to do is to serve one another. But to your point, it's not it's been easy. And still now today, right? I mean, there are times when it's like, man, all right, here's another challenge. Like, how are we going to face it? But the more you do it, the better it gets. And sometimes it may not turn out the way you think. But for me, I would rather have tried and gotten that off my chest than been like, oh man, I wonder if I would have done a little bit more. I wonder if I would have tried. The flip side of that is you also need to know like when to quit. Like, hey, you know what? This partnership, it's not going to work, and that's okay. We each learned something from it, and I'm going to bless you and let it go. I think we were kind of talking before the podcast started of how much we learn, and it feeds into every other part of life. You know, this is business, but it's also life. But it's using our business to serve one another. And you're doing a beautiful job of that. I mean, I've seen your journey over the last almost decade, and you are just doing such a beautiful job of that and touching lives that, to your point, then will then have a ripple effect to other people.
And yeah. So we just choose our hard, and we've chosen.
Choose your hard.
And yeah. It's good. And it is good. Thank you. How can people get in touch with you? Because you do help people with business strategy and things if they're considering some business stuff. How do they get in touch with you?
Really the best way is LinkedIn. Just message me on LinkedIn. I try and keep it simple. Message me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to talk, chat, and help in any way I can.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm not coming down. I never left it
on the ground. I'm not coming down. Thanks for listening to this episode. I would love it if you would go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and a review. And then you can go to RebeccaFleetwoodHessian.com and join the Badass Women's Council. And if you really want to take a deeper dive, join the movement of 1,000 thriving women. There's amazing Thrive tools there for you today. Love you, mean it. I'm not coming down. Hey y'all, fun fact, if you like the music for the podcast, that is actually my son, Cameron Hessian. And I would love it if you would go to Spotify and iTunes and follow him and download some of his other music. My personal favorite is TV Land.